Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs pop up over there on Tuesdays and Saturdays, so look for something there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportsradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get your Time Radio Facebook. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we appreciate that. Don't forget we also have the feed, which is at Sports Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter at Time and Dan the Man.
Dan Z Man with 3 E's.
So where are we starting off today? We want. Do you want how bad your fantasy football did this one?
Well, so I mean, I don't want to go all the way back to the draft, but you know, I was being a jerk or an idiot, whatever you want to call it, on nominating in our auction league Andy Dalton. Got stuck with him for $2. I was surprised. I was surprised no one even bid on him. Whatever. I should have just responded in the chat. So, I mean, it looks to me like that's a Mike Glennon pick from a couple years ago. So, you know, that's kind of – that didn't hurt me too bad, seeing as I have Trevor Lawrence and Matt Stafford. They both – played pretty well, so but it's just rough, Big Jack. You know, the first week, the one league I lost by 10 points to Secret Squirrel. You know, he's a long time in our league, so I don't think I ever beat him anyway, so it feels good to at least get in within 10. But the other league, and I lost by like 50-60 points, so it's just disheartening already. I'm like, here goes another 10th to 15th place season. I mean, I was looking back at our history, and Big Jack, the one year when my nephew somehow created three teams, when Mr. Fantasy was still here, his team and the crappy team that he got stuck with did better than the team I drafted. So...
Yeah, no, I had very win. I won by 130 points in the one league, so I'm going to guess this is a dead team already. And then the other league, I basically got my brain kicked in by not, I was never close. I was telling you, I got Gus Edwards. I thought it was a real steal. Until he blew out his Achilles, going to be gone for the year. Now I'm scrambling to try running back of some weight or anything to get myself by. It's going to be a very year of shuffling guys in and out, hoping to God somebody hit.
Yeah, well, and, you know, you made that comment to me about the Buffalo running back. Was it the backup? And then he was taken out of the game. Not even started.
Which one?
Nothing.
There were two running backs that people were really high on. That was Zach Buffalo and Trey Sermon from the 49ers. And for some reason, their teams decided to make them both inactive.
Yeah, healthy.
And it was just kind of,
it was kind of like,
wait, what's going on here? Because they were, you know, they were two guys that I was thinking about adding, you know, later on. And then it was just okay.
And here's the thing that actually lost me the game. I could have won had I started Latavius Murray or Cordarrelle Patterson. So, I mean.
Yeah, and I was surprised how many carries Cordarrelle ended up getting.
Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I mean, the point difference, because I lost by barely 9 points. So had I started, you know, like I said, either one of these guys, you know, Cordarrelle in our league, he scored 9.82. That would have put me over the hump by the lowest margin for a win. But, you know, I lost it because, and, you know, it's my fault too, but, you know, I saw it too late. You know, when I checked it earlier, everything was looking good. I'm ready to go. And then, you know, the game started, and that was all she wrote. I couldn't do anything about it after that. That's the one thing I wish they had was a kind of like a wild card where you could still change out one guy. I don't know if how much that would, you know, piss people off, but it would be nice.
Yeah, it would help greatly if, you know, you could get something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's that's the tough thing about football. It's just like, yeah, okay, here we go, you know, let's see how this works out.
So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you can't get too mad about it. You know, and that's the league I have. What league is that? Oh, that's the auction league. So I have Trevor Lawrence, Adam Thielen, Delvin Cook. You know, it's all looking good. But also, I guess on my end, not drafting receivers that greatly, I had Mecole Hardman, you know, which potentially he looked like he was going to score 11 points, or Jacoby Myers from New England. And, you know, those two guys combined for 12 points. They're, you know, 11.99.
Yeah.
So
I have in the league you don't have him in, and I was really disappointed in his performance. I was really expecting to have a really good season. Yeah, he's off to a terrible start. And I know, so I'm not going to freak out about it, but it's just disappointing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that sucked. I mean, sorry, I'm catching emails from my boss who's on vacation. I'm like, what are you doing? But, you know, the extra league I joined with that's in a group of 10, it didn't look so good at first. I got a Snickers win of the week or something. And, you know, what really made me mad, Big Jack, of course, was the fact that I drafted Robbie Gould, and he doubled up on Ryan Soukup, so he had 14 points. But, you know, I ended up winning that week. So it's a lot different with 10 teams, Big Jack, and only 7 guys you're drafting. It's actually we'll see. I don't want to say it's not that fun, but, yeah, you know, hopefully I get my $20 back or whatever I paid. I don't know. I don't know how this happens, Big Jack, but I did it again where I ended up with Trevor Lawrence in both leagues, actually all 3 leagues. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. You know, and it's not that it's a negative. I just don't like to try. I try not to draft the same quarterback all the way around. So that was kind of stupid. You know, but it was interesting Sunday. And, you know, I actually, without having cable, I wanted to ask you this, without having cable, you know, it was difficult to watch the NFL. I finally was able to log into Fox Sports. You know, I was watching on my tablet, and the NFL app, oddly, it works, which is really bizarre, Big Jack. I just don't understand this. So I'm on my tablet, my iPad, and I'm watching the Minnesota game, and it's in the NFL app. It's working. I go switch and turn on my TV after I'm, you know, done making lunch, and the NFL app asks me to log into a provider, and they don't take Comcast.
Oh, okay.
And my, you know, the AT&T DirecTV password I had from not from you, but someone else, the password was changed, so
okay.
I got to go get that tomorrow. Yeah, so I was a little but then, you know, I found Fox, so I was able to get on. So I don't know what I'm going to do for CBS or any NBC games. It'll be interesting. You know, I did, you know, throwing into Sunday night, and, you know, I'd like to get your take on this week. I know you watched more than I did. I was keeping up with the Bears game while I was putting my daughter to bed, you know, had it on my phone. We were reading, and I didn't get back down to a TV until the start of the third or somewhere in the third quarter. And all of a sudden, there's a guy running down the field on the Rams. I don't remember who it was because I don't have him. And he's basically wide open, and it looked like, you know, something you'd see in a movie. Like, seriously, something you saw in a movie on how bad of a team the Bears were looking at that moment. And maybe it was just that moment. But I watched this wide open touchdown pass, and I said, yeah, that's not happening. I can't even do it. So I just turned it off and put on something else. Did I overreact a little too much, or was I just looking at the fact that Andy Dalton was getting his ass kicked? Luckily, I didn't start him, but he had, like, negative points. And, you know, even not being a truly diehard Bears fan, I still root for the team. I want to see them do good. And it just looked like rookie ball. I don't know, Big Jack, if it's just me, but I feel like nothing's changed since they let go of Jay Cutler.
Well,
like,
to remember that, you know, they were playing against one of the better defenses in
mm-hmm.
football. So you had to expect them to look bad, I guess, would be the way to imply it. And I'm still laughing at all these people that are like, well, you know, if Justin Fields would have played, yeah, they still would have got beat. Okay, that's the bottom line. There is, they weren't going to beat the Rams. It's just that simple. And I think the thing that's most disappointing is the fact that they're supposed to be a good defense and they looked horrible. You know, like mm-hmm. you mentioned Cooper Kupp about getting wide open on, I believe it was a 50-plus yard touchdown pass, and then the first score the Rams had was over 60, where the guy actually went down and nobody touched him. So, you know, it was a terrible game, you know, offensively.
Didn't it seem like one of those just completely off college football games where, you know, you've got like Auburn or Alabama going against, you know, my local college? Maybe not that low, but.
Yeah, the Little Sisters of the Poor or something like that, you know.
Yeah, or, you know, a team that lies to get on TV. We never
yeah.
covered any of that. That whatever you want to call it, I don't know.
You know, I think, you know, there's games like that every week in college football. You know, Alabama always schedules one, but those teams get really good money to come in and get their brains beat in, so that's why they do it.
Oh, yeah, but you know what I mean. It's just again, you know, you're not expecting, well, I mean, we know how local fans get, and I'm assuming it's everywhere, you know, a one great game
yeah.
and, you know, they're going to the Super Bowl and the quarterback's the next Tom Brady or whatever. And, you know, 3 weeks later, he's, you know, he's being carted out of town. But I forgot my point, you know, but you just kind of have like a better mentality. You're like, you want to watch your team go into the first week and have like a good performance, even if they lose. You know, I'd rather
right.
see a game where, you know, kind of like with Kansas City beating up on the other team. So bad with football.
Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, kind of coming back, or, you know, just even a game where you lose in overtime on a field goal. You know, at least you noticed you both sides played well. And so, you know, I know next Monday, next week, they're not on Monday night, are they? Am I just making that up? You know,
it's
different atmosphere. At
Lions on Monday night this week, this coming one next year.
Yeah, but, you know, with the Bears next week at home, you know, going into it, it's going to be positive with everyone like, well, it's the home opener, blah, blah, blah. But we'll see how they go. I hope it does better. They'll make it hard to watch.
Well, you know, you have to remember, you know, Trevor Lawrence, number one pick in the draft, started, they lost. Zach Wilson, number two pick, started, they lost, and he got killed. He got sacked like six times. Mac Jones, you know, number one pick, what was he, 14 or 15? They lost. While Trey Lance did win, he didn't play that much.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, you know, you can't really count him. So, yeah, three of the five number one draft pick quarterbacks that started, all three of them lost. So, you know, it's only going to get you far.
I was going to say, so you think Justin Fields would have lost them?
To the Rams? Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, like Mac Jones played good, and the other two guys showed some signs of what they could be. But, you know, you got to remember, I mean, like Trevor Lawrence is on a terrible team, and so is Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take some time for those teams to improve. It's just kind of the process, and the Bears are a bad team. So, you know, just having, you know, this quarterback, do you think he's going to save you? You know, I mean, Andy Dalton, technically, he was only sacked three times, so it's not like he was murdered back there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, and I get it. And, you know, this is something maybe you can answer for me, since you're just more of a casual football fan. You know, the Packers got beat, and they looked terrible. And now the Bears hadn't played yet. And I went in, I had a Facebook message, so I went in and I checked, and I noticed on my timeline that everybody was posting about the Packers losing and, oh, yeah, you know, the Packers stink and the Bears this and blah, blah, blah. And now I, you know, once the Bears, of course, got beat by 20 points, I didn't see much of, you know, that the next morning. What do these people not understand, that even though Green Bay lost, A, it's just week one, and B, they're still a better team than the Bears? So what's the joy of them getting off so much on the Packers losing? Is it just because the Bears suck so bad?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, and that's the one thing that drives me nuts. And I mean, it's good to have that banter back and forth. You know, let's say you're a Cubs fan, I'm a Sox fan, vice versa, and, you know, we're hanging out, and I give you crap, you give me crap. But, you know, the people who get so excited right now, you know, like any Cub fan who watches a Sox game and they lose, you know, who just wants to antagonize people, or, you know, the Sox fan who still wants to antagonize the Cub fan because, you know, they're not in a position to go anywhere the postseason. You know, it gets tired. I mean, you know, having fun with your friends is one thing, but, you know, they get so involved with it, and I get it. You know, I get the fandom, and I'm not going to take that away from anybody. But, man, sometimes it's way too over the top, and, like, calm down.
Yeah, well, and that's what this was, because it was just ridiculous looking at, you know, post after post about this, and it's like, okay, well, if the Bears would have went out and won, you would have had something. But obviously, they weren't going to go out and win. So, yeah, it was, you know, like you said, it got ridiculous, you know, by the time it was all said and done. I was just like, really? That was the only time I went there because I just couldn't deal with it anymore until the next morning. And then I noticed they had all shut up because the Bears had lost, and they lost handily. Not as handily as the Packers did. I mean, the Packers were flat out terrible. But, again, it's just week one. So, you know, you can't take, you know, you just can't read too much into that. So, yeah, I was just like, really? You know, let's get over this and, you know, just watch the damn game. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun and, you know, I get into it, but I just don't get that upset, you know, or excited about another team. Just, well, you know, there's times where, yeah, you want to see that team lose. And you know, and I don't know, maybe it's, you know, my uncle always said, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, when he and my dad and them, you know, there was a lot more gambling going on back then. And, you know, I think, too, especially when you're, you know, 20s, 30s, you know, we're talking, you know, my dad, blue collar, my uncle, all blue collar. And aside from playing poker and bowling, you know, that was, what other reason would you really watch football? You know, and that's kind of what my uncle told me. You know, my dad still is a Bears fan and loves to watch football, but my uncle said that, you know, they both agreed that made it a little bit more exciting, and that made them, you know, that's the reason they were jumping out of their chairs screaming and yelling at the TV was because, you know, I have $50 on the line. So that, you know, that bum, that bum better, you know, make that catch or whatever, you know, because I need my money. And, you know, where then, you know, my uncle and my dad were betting on specific teams or, you know, kind of like that, you know, you and I think being so involved with the fantasy and then just, you know, sports in general, the way we are, I don't, you know, we have our likes and our attachments to teams, but we kind of sit back because even if my team's losing, I you know, I've got this guy on this team that I want to win and things like that. So I think that's why we don't get so intense on it. I'm like, chill out.
Yeah, well, I still get pretty bad when I'm watching it, you know. And, I mean, you know, like, obviously, you know, I want the Bears to do well, but, you know, I'm not actively rooting against, you know, the Packers, you know, or the Lions, you know, they're all in the same division. And, you know, I would, you know, like to see the Bears win because it's local. But, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, as much as it's great to be a fan, you've got to have a little bit of common sense when it comes to it. And, you know, you look at the Rams, you look at the Bears, the Rams are the better team. So now unless something goes drastically, you know, right for the Bears and drastically wrong for the Rams are going to win this game. So, you know, why go shoot your mouth off before the game's been played? Because you just come off looking like a petty ass, don't you?
Well, you know, and for me, and I hate to dog on them, but it's just, you know, even to baseball, it's about the fundamentals. And, you know, when you don't look like the professional team that's supposed to be out there, it just, why should I watch it?
Yeah, well, you know, and that, you know, and that's the thing you gotta, you know, you gotta understand. They're asleep. Teams that aren't going to be very good. Now, luckily for the Bears, it looks like their division is very good because every team lost. So, you know, maybe they'll have a chance to compete there. But yeah, I mean, you know, you look at some, you know, like I mentioned the Jets, and I mentioned the Jaguars, and you know, even though the Texans won, they beat the Jaguars, they're not expected to be very good. So, you know, it's gonna be a tough watch for 16 more games because we're playing 17 this year. And I, you know, like even, you know, this game against Cincinnati, I know it's at home coming up, and I know the Bears are the favorite, but, you know, Cincinnati is kind of a young, up-and-coming team. And I don't know if the Bears are going to win. They should have a better chance this week, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know if I was watching that game or I was watching the highlights of that one. For some reason, Cincinnati didn't look too bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, the Bears should win at home, you know, but I saw, like, the betting line, Cincinnati's getting, like, 3.5 points already. I was thinking if I was betting money, I would probably take the points because I'm assuming it's going to be a really close game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
How long will Dalton stay in? And did he play for the Raiders once?
Dalton? No, he played for the Bengals and the Cowboys. So
I thought there was a Bengal quarterback that went to the Raiders.
Carson Palmer went there.
Oh, that's right. No, I confused him with Dalton, because I had a friend, a Dyer Raiders friend, not Greg, your friend, that was so excited when Palmer was there, and then 2 weeks later he wasn't saying anything.
You know, Greg's name is now Jennifer, so you got to get that right.
Oh, that's right.
So.
Yeah, it's not in Yahoo.
Oh, yeah, I got to mention that to him. He's a big Raider fan, so we had a long conversation today. I'll have to talk to him and be like, hey, you forgot to, you know, you got to change your Yahoo name. Well, but yeah, you know, like obviously the thing to watch with the Bears right now is, does Andy Dalton make it to week 10 as the starter? Cause that's the bye week. And everybody thinks that, you know, if the Bears are going to make the change, that's when they're going to do it. So, you know, we'll see, but coming out of the bye, you know, they're playing the Baltimore Ravens that week 11 game. And the Ravens are, you know, they're known for having a really good defense. Do we want to see Justin Fields walk in against that kind of defense?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like I said, I feel like it's just watching a repeat of the Trubisky startup or whatever. You know, at least Fields isn't going places and getting booed. Grant, I don't know if he could go anywhere. But no, he was at a Cubs game, I think, possibly a Sox game. But, you know, do you think they'll actually hold out that long and get him behind, you know, more reps, I don't want to say, because obviously he's not playing on the field, but more practice time? Because, you know, listening to Sunday's game, the announcers were mentioning the fact that, you know, he would be in a position where he's collecting all the snaps in practice where, you know, the starter usually doesn't. You know, and the Trubisky thing, whether it was people think it was premature or too late, or, I mean, we all knew that Mike Glennon wasn't going to work out and it was a waste of a signing to begin with, and you should have just went with Trubisky out of the gate, and then you could have figured things out a lot quicker. Do you think they'll actually hold on and keep Fields in the back, you know, with the headphones on and being the man at practice, catching all the snaps, and maybe get him in a position where he can succeed?
Well, you know, the tough part, you know, like Matt Nagy, you got to remember, he came from that Kansas City coaching staff where Patrick Mahomes sat for basically the entire season. I believe he played the last week of the season. But the difference there, of course, was that team was winning.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at a team that isn't winning, it's going to make for a bit of a difference. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure put on to play fields. And the question just becomes, you know, will Nagy give in, or is there another plan in place? You know, because basically he's coaching for his job.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly don't know. It's going to be, you know, and that's one of the things that's going to be really interesting to watch is, you know, how he handles it. And, you know, the same thing's going on in San Francisco, except their bye week is a lot earlier. You know, it comes up like week 6 or something. So, you know, it's like what's going to happen with Garoppolo, and they won. So, you know, if they're winning, again, you know, winning cures everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's always the key. If you can win, well, then you can stick with this guy. Because you can just kind of go, well, hey, we're winning. But, yeah, when you're losing, it's pushed more for you to make a change. And, unfortunately, I think the Bears will probably be on the losing end. You know, and the 49ers maybe too. You know, they're in a very tough division. You know, that entire division, everybody mm-hmm. won. You know, just the opposite of the Bears division. So, you know, hey, at least the Bears can say after week 1 they're tied for first place, right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about too. Is this the norm, or is this just a rotating schedule? I mean, I just was surprised at how all the divisions, nobody went up against someone in their own division in week 1.
Yeah, it's you know, like just like any other sport now, it's generated through the computer. You know, like you have both divisions. Like this year, the Bears play the AFC North. So we'll see the Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Steelers. And then with the added game, I don't know who they do. But,
yeah.
You know, that's just how it sets up. But, yeah, it was a little odd that, you know, like, you know, there were a couple division matchups. You know, you had New England at Miami and Jacksonville and Houston.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
there weren't too many to fall off. But, you know, they're still, you know, by the time of the season ends, you'll play them each twice, home and away. So it's not like they're not going to play.
I guess being that
it was week 1, the NFL figured they didn't need any kind of rating pop because it was week 1 and everybody was going to watch anyways.
That is true. You know, like I'm not even, like you said, I'm more casual and I was still watching as much as I could. Except I missed, well...
So
yeah, I missed last night.
You know, and then had the big plus was there were no blackouts. So, you know, if you didn't have the NFL package, you got 5 games. You know, CBS had 2, Fox had 2, and then there was the night game on NBC. So there was a lot of football that died just on regular cable. Now this week, you know, it won't be that way because, you know, whoever would be going up against the Bears will be blacked out in our area, just like, you know, in any other area, you get just the home team's game. So,
yeah.
But, you know, you should get 4 games, so there's still plenty of football to watch.
Well, I got to take my pick up the baby break, so. If you want to run over anything for a few minutes, I'll be right back.
Yeah, okay. I guess I can. So, yeah, you know, since we meandered on about football, we'll wander on into some baseball. And, you know, I didn't even realize we had a doubleheader today. I can't be the only one who didn't know that. But the Cleveland Indians beat the Minnesota Twins 3-1 in the first game of their doubleheader. Let me pull some stats up here, and we can wander on about that. Tristan McKenzie picked up the win. He went 6 of 7 innings, six innings, three hits, one run, one walk, and 7 strikeouts. So he had a really good outing. Emmanuel Kloss picked up the save, his 23rd of the year, his one inning with 1 strikeout. And Colombo picked up the loss for the Twins. He got shelled in relief. He pitched the 7th, 1 inning, 2 hits, 2 runs. Only one of the runs were earned, but he did give up a walk, strike out a couple. So, yeah, that was the early game. Bradley Zimmer hit his 7th home run for the Indians. But, yeah, not a ton of offense, just 8 hits combined. And the only guy who had more than one was Harold Ramirez for the Indians. Yeah, he went 2 for 3. That was it. We had Miles Straw had a hit. Zimmer had the home run. And then Austin Hedges had a hit for the Indians. The Twins only managed 3 hits. So Josh Donaldson got one. Andrelton Simmons got one. And Rovell, the catcher, picked up one. And I don't know their first names, otherwise I'd throw them out there for you. But they're, you know, September call-up guys. So, yeah, that was game one. And obviously we have a full slate of games tonight, so we can jump over that here. We got Cincinnati at Pittsburgh with Wade Miley and Dylan Peters as the scheduled starters. Milwaukee is at Detroit. Freddie Peralta and Willie Peralta are the scheduled starters there. The Cubs are in Philadelphia to take on the Phillies. It's Adrian Sampson and Kyle Gibson as the listed starters. The Marlins are at the Nationals. Jesus Luzardo and Eric Fetty are the listed starters. The Yankees are at the Orioles. Garrett Cole and Alexander Wells are the listed starters. Tampa Bay is at Toronto. Drew Rasmussen and Jose Berrios are the listed starters there. St. Louis is at the Mets. It's Woodford. I almost said Woodruff. It's Woodford and Marcus Stroman are the listed starters. The Rockies are at the Braves. It's John Gray and Tuki Toussaint as the listed starters. Game two of that Indians Twins doubleheader is actually going to be live on FS1. Logan Allen and Charlie Barnes are the listed starters. The Astros are at the Rangers. Zach Greinke and Jordan Lyles are the listed starters there. The Angels are in Chicago to take on the White Sox. It's Packy Naughton and Lucas Giolito. Giolito's coming off the DL to make the start there. The A's are at the Royals. We get Frankie Montas and Jackson Cowor are the starters there. The Padres are at the Giants. The Giants beat them last night to clinch a playoff spot. We get Jake Arrieta and Anthony DeSclafani as the listed starters. The Diamondbacks are at the Dodgers. We get Luke Weaver and Tony Gonsolin as the listed starters. And if you have the ESPN app, you can watch that game live. And then we get the Red Sox at the Mariners. It's Nathan Eovaldi and Tyler Anderson as the listed starters there, but we shall see how those things go. But yeah, that's your Major League Baseball schedule for tonight. So hopefully you will do some viewing there.
Don't mind the background music.
No. All right. Well, I wanted to get your take here, Dan. You know, the wild card races in both leagues have gotten kind of funky. Well, in the National League, it's just for one spot. But in the American League, believe it or not, it's the Toronto Blue Jays who have actually moved all the way up to the top spot. The Red Sox and the Yankees are tied for that second spot, while the Mariners are two back and the A's are 2.5 back. Who's going to come out of this when this shakes out?
I don't know. I feel like the team that's been climbing has really been Boston. I don't think, you know, they've got a solid team. I don't think we expected them. I honestly expected them to fall out, to be honest, by now. I didn't think they'd be in the race. you know, sorry, but I haven't paid a super whole lot of attention to what's going on in Seattle. So what is giving them that boost? Do they just, is it just the team playing well, or do you think they have what it takes to take on, say, the Yankees, Red Sox?
No, they're by far the worst team in this race, but they win every game that goes to extra inning. So that's been their big thing. Their record in extra innings is just crazy. And for them to be even hanging around at this point is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I mean, they did manage to beat the Red Sox last night. You know, the Blue Jays have been the hottest team in this race. They've won four in a row. I think the Yankees fall into a good spot here because going to Baltimore, who, you know, is still rebuilding and just not a very good team, you know, they have a shot to feast. And I did plug Gerrit Cole in as my FanDuel pitcher for tonight because he's going against the Orioles. So I'm expecting a big outing. You know, so I, you know, that'll help things along here. But yeah, it's a tough pick. It seems like these teams get hot. You know, the Red Sox fell out, then they came back. Now they're back, you know, tied. The Yankees went on that huge winning streak to get in it. Then they started to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of ups and downs here, and you wonder if after Toronto finishes this losing streak, if they go on a winning streak, if they go on a losing streak.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 10 games, they could really kind of take it over if they wanted.
You know, and the weird part is the A's have really struggled, and that's been uncharacteristic for them.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, they're just scuffling. So, you know, who knows if they can right the ship, but, you know, it's going to make it fun. And then, you know, in the National League, you know, the Giants clinched the playoff spot last night. The Dodgers have a 16.5 game lead for the first wild card spot. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're in. But in that second wild card spot, right now it belongs to Cincinnati. The Padres and the Cardinals are just a half game back. The Phillies are 2.5 back. And you can't even really count the Mets out, who are 3.5 back. So it's, you know, five teams for one spot, which is going to make this really interesting. And the only team playing well right now out of those five teams is the Cardinals.
One.
You know, and I guess I got to ask you, Dan, while you talk about them, what I want you to answer as you're going over that race, are the Padres sunk with all the injuries to their pitching staff? You know, Blake Snell just got hurt. Yu Darvish doesn't look right, and they're using Jake Arrieta tonight.
Whoa, they ended up picking up Arrieta?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, if he loses, wear a mask. No.
You know, and they add in, they just put Chris Paddock on the IL today.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, pitching is what wins. Totally, you know, you need the hitting, but you need the pitching, I think, a little bit more. So I think we're going to see them fade away. It almost, you know, I was just going to compare it to that year with the, you know, when we had the Cubs, Cardinals, and Pirates all winning 100 games. You know, it's like the Padres were in kind of in that position of more like being like the Pirates and, you know, can't enough to get past, you know, what we thought was just L.A., but now they have to worry about the Giants.
Yeah, well, you know, and sadly, whichever team gets this last wild card spot isn't going to be anywhere close to 100 games. They're just going to be barely over 500.
Yeah,
they're going to get the exception of getting to go to L.A. to face the Dodgers or San Francisco to face the Giants, depending on which one ends up with that wild card spot. So, yeah, it's a it's an interesting deal here. But, yeah, I'm trying to figure out if the Reds and the Cardinals just played that well to get themselves back in the race, or if this just kind of dropped back to them in their lap, because I don't really think either team is that good.
No, I feel like it just kind of dropped back into their lap. I mean, the fact that, you know, the East, more so the Phillies and the Mets, aren't, well, even Washington aren't up at the top fighting more. You know, if those two teams, one of those three, were a little bit, you know, in a better position, we wouldn't even be talking about the Cardinals or the Reds.
Yeah. So, yeah, because, you know, I mean, with, you know, with the exception of the West, where the Dodgers are now 2.5 back, the, you know, the Giants have added a little distance. I don't think anybody else is making anything up in the National League. You know, the Phillies are 4.5 back, the Mets are 5.5 back, but mm-hmm. neither team looked like that team that can go on that run where they can win 7, 8, 9 in a row to get back in it, do they? So, I mean, their only hope is the wild card.
Yeah, and, you know, it, what I think hurts, too, for Philly is they're another team without the I don't want to say without a starting lineup, but they just need to start it more, a stronger starting rotation. I mean, I feel like they've got the goods on the field, you know, around the horn, but I just, you know, on the mound, is it really there? And then, you know, who could have been a star or so we thought. I don't know if he would have ever been an ace, but I know he could have been up in that, definitely a number two, but a strong three. And, you know, Vince Velasquez just, you know, now he was NA'd or designated. Sorry, I'm
DDS.
Yahoo Fantasy Talk. He was NA'd.
Yeah. No.
So,
yeah, well, you
know,
it's, you know, Zach Wheeler has been really good for the Phillies, but what's going on with Aaron Nola? Because he was supposed to be the ace, and he's 7-8 with a 4.58 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Toughest things. And, you know, with everything being launch angle and, you know, velocity, spin rate, you know, focusing on all that, all I've really noticed is that every batter strikes out, you get a lot of strikeouts as a rare pitcher or you're giving up home runs. And, you know, that's why they throw all this other crap at you because, oh, well, wins and losses don't matter because we have spin rate and we have launch velocity and we have this and that and, you know, war and all this other stuff to distract you from it. But at the end of the day, a solid pitcher is going to win games and that helps your team win, which at the end of the day, the goal is to win the most games in your division. So you go to the playoffs and win a World Series. Every advanced analytic is more for personal statistics that a lot of them, you know, especially war, I truly believe war doesn't mean jack unless you're trying to compare Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani to Babe Ruth or, you know, because that's the only way you can get it close to it, to comparing them. But you really can't because of the different eras, different everything, you know, down to the socks they wore. So, I mean, you keep flashing around all this other stuff, and it just doesn't really make that much of a difference. You know, yeah, fantasy-wise, it's great, you know, to have a pitcher that's going to strike out 12 guys. And, you know, if we decided to just get rid of wins and losses, you know what I mean? Not that we would, but it would just change the whole dynamic around, you know, pitching for us in fantasy. And that's different. It's fantasy. It's not, you know, it's for us to do because we're not in the game and we're both too old, you know, in that essence. So I don't understand why they keep taking, you know, they keep trying to discredit stats that actually mean something. I mean, winning games means something. That's the whole point of the game.
Yeah.
When you've got a
I think what
guy going
people,
7 and
what
eight.
People may forget is analytics were basically invented for fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
You know, it was to give other categories. And, yeah, it is a way to break down a player, but, I've said this before, don't apply analytics to a guy like Mike Trout and tell me he's great. I can see that when he goes on the field. Go out and find me that kid that nobody's looking at and say, oh, yeah, he's got the metrics and he's got this or he's got that. And then show it to me. So, You know, it's just a little ridiculous. But, well, you know, at least it'll be fun to watch, right, with all these teams contending.
Yeah, it definitely makes it a little bit more fun to watch. And I think, you know, for the casual baseball fan, if your team's not in the mix, you start to fall off and, you know, maybe lose a little interest. And then football season starts and, you know, you've got at least a good 4 or 5 weeks before you give up on your team there. But, you know, for guys like us, you know, I might slow down a little bit in the middle of the summer, you know, after the All-Star break, I'm catching up on all the games. But when we get into this race, I think it makes it a lot more exciting and, kind of get you back involved with it. You know, just like even though we both know the White Sox own the division, being able to check in and watch a White Sox-Red Sox game was pretty electric, you know. A lot different than 2-3 years ago when I went and watched Chris Sale light up the White Sox, you know, who were a rebuilding team at the time, you know, so.
All right, well, you've got to go over this one with me here, because now you've come out and you're in the group that has already given Shohei Ohtani the MVP in the American League. All right. My question for you is, would it change your mind if Vlad Guerrero Jr. wins the Triple Crown? You know, by him in home runs last night. He hit his 45th last night, so he's now one, I believe, ahead of Ohtani. I believe, I want to double check this here, but I believe he is, if not the American League batting average leader, he's right there. So let me get a peek here. Technically he's behind Starling Marte. So I don't know if Marte, I guess technically he would qualify for the American League, so we'd have to see how that shakes out. he is currently tied for third in RBI. So he is right there in all those categories. So he would have an outside shot to win it. Would that change your vote if he did that?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, you know, I like what Ohtani's doing. I wish he could do it on, you know, more days or whatever, you know, but it's, you're constricted by, you know, how things work with the game. But, you know, I'm looking for legitimately the most valuable player. And I think, especially with, you know, postseason out of it, I think what Vlad's doing is definitely pushing him over that hump, because, you know, that was the first thing I was going to say to you when you were talking about the AL West wildcard run, well, not the AL West, but the wildcard run in the AL, and you start, you know, even, you know, when you mentioned how the A's are down and you're surprised at the Mariners kind of being in the spot they're in, and, you know, to me, hearing you say that these two teams probably aren't where you think they belong, even though they're up at the top, what's the one team that's missing? It's the Angels. I mean, they have two of the best players in Major League Baseball on their team, and yet we don't even talk about them as a playoff team. You know, they wouldn't even fit Jed Hoyer's minimum requirements of being called a championship contending team just by being able to get into a wild card game. You know, so it's, to me, I can't even. It's got to suck to be an Angels fan, and, you know, don't get all mad at me because I'm not trying to knock you, but it's got to suck. You've got this team with great talent. One of the, you know, a guy that we're never going to see play again, not that his season's over, but we're never going to see another Shohei Ohtani, who knows how long. And with Mike Trout, you know, this guy's going to be a lifelong Angel pretty much, and you can't even, still after 10 years, can't even get into the postseason. You know, so to me, most valuable player, and this is where we go back to LeBron James. How do you define it? you know, we're not, obviously we're not taking into account the playoffs, but when you take a team like Toronto, who has Vlad Guerrero Jr., numbers are very similar, but he doesn't pitch. You know, I don't think you can hold that against him. And he's part of a team that was maybe not in the wild card running. Well, they were always in it because you're in it till you're not. But they went from being a team that was fighting for it to being the team that people are, you know, other teams are fighting to take. So to me, I think that supersedes the press that Shohei Ohtani gets. Because let's be honest, Ohtani's getting the press. Vlad's not going to get the press. So if this were a public voting, I mean, let's be honest, Jack, you and I could vote all day, but we both know who would win. Because if you turn on MLB, you turn on the mothership, you turn on any sports show, who are they talking about? They're talking about Ohtani. I mean, the Baseball America, that subscription you gave me, do you know who was on the cover last month? Or the last issue?
No.
Shohei Ohtani.
No.
And I'm like, did he even play in the minor leagues in baseball? In Major League? So that one threw me off. I mean, because I'm like, oh, I thought this was like a prospect book. you know, there's not a whole lot of Major League Baseball in there, except for their minor league players. So, you know, and I keep seeing commercials for Ohtani. And like I said, again, I think it's great. I think what he's doing for the game is great, but he's not enough for that team to become a championship contending team. And while I think he definitely is in contention for MVP, I think Vlad takes the cake.
Yeah, what baffles me is, for whatever reason, and they only seem to do this when it comes to Angels, because they do this for Mike Trout all the time, this is the one time that winning doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, because while Ohtani is great, and you know he's having a good season at the plate. You know, you can't deny that. But you know, when you start to look at their numbers side by side, okay, you know he's got 44 bombs because they show one every time he hits it. You know, they'll cut into a game to show a Shohei Ohtani home run. You know, he struck out 168 times. He's hitting 259. You know, and I know the first thing they're going to say is, well, he's got 23 stolen bases. Okay, great.
Mike Trout would have
his team is in second to last, you know, at fourth place in the AOS. You know, I mean, he should get to 100 RBIs. He's got 94, but you know that puts him behind Vlad. You know, Vlad's only struck out 101 times, and he's actually walked more. You know, he's got a better batting average. He's got a better OPS. He's got a better slugging percentage. He's got a better on base plus slugging. The only thing they hold against him is he doesn't pitch. But it's team wins.
That's what matters to me.
Yeah. You know, and especially when, you know, they're this similar, you know, winning should matter a little bit. But for whatever reason, it doesn't. So, yeah, I think Ohtani's still going to win, but I'm going to be interested to see how the vote shakes out and, you know, how some of these other guys rank. But, all right, let's go away. It's time to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there you go. These three guys are taking off. Now, we're back tomorrow at 4:30 to do the college game. Come on, by the way, while we're going to interview, sportsfunradio.com, look for the phone popping up there tomorrow morning. Click that link, it'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you want all the way over there, go ahead and give that a like. Don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Feel free to look your email up on Twitter as well. We're going to talk to you. And hey, if you see someone listen to us live, well, thank you for doing that. That was very interesting. But if you just didn't make it for some reason and you still want to listen, head on over to TuneIn.com and you can listen to us anytime you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.